Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. It's a Monday, so you know we got 2 good hours for you because Darren always does really well on Mondays. He schedules really well on Mondays. Second hour, Tim Staples is going to be here and we're going to talk about the big things. Heaven, hell, judgment, purgatory, all the, we could say the stuff that comes at the end. We'll spend an hour talking about that and your questions are very welcome. But if you're going to get there and have things... go the way you'd like them to go once you get to those ending things. It matters how you live now. And we're going to talk now about the mature Christian life and what it means to be a mature Christian. And you might even say that there's more or less an epidemic of immature Christianity, and in large part that is connected probably to the fact that we have an addiction of immaturity generally in our society. The things that used to grow people up and make them mature are often delayed or not present in people's lives. And things that help us to avoid growing up and being mature people are all around us, and we often choose them, therefore choosing our own immaturity. And so we'll talk about the mature Christian life and how does one go about becoming a mature Christian. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. To help us do that is the wonderful Monsignor Charles Pope. You can hear him weekday mornings on Morning Gloria with, I'm sure, his friends, Gloria Purvis and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You can read his blog at Monsignor Pope, that's msgrpope.com. And he's got a book he's got several books, but among his latest books, Curious Catholic.
Catholic and Curious.
Catholic, yes. And Curious. Yeah, oh, my gosh. I had it right in front of me, and I still messed it up. Okay. But you're a mature Christian, so I know you'll forgive me. Monsignor Charles Pope, thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
So what do we mean by this, by being a mature Christian? You wrote a column about it recently, and you are a prolific and helpful columnist. So you wrote about maturity and immaturity related to the Christian life and how we go about becoming mature Christians. So help us get into that.
Yeah, maybe just to state it as in a sentence, that a mature Christian is someone who knows and has experienced that Jesus is risen from the dead, and they live their life out of that knowledge and experience. So again, they know, they experience that Jesus is risen from the dead, and they live their life out of that experience. So what that points to is confidence and hope. And I'm not talking about the hope like I hope it doesn't rain. The vigorous theological virtue of hope that is a confident expectation of God's help in attaining to eternal life and everything that leads to it. So I think that that's what first and foremost makes for a mature Christian. We live confidently and hope. And because of that, we're in a life-changing, transformative relationship with the Lord, who we know is alive, and He's changing our lives. And, you know, I can say as I reflect on my life, I'm 31 years a priest, and I'm edging towards 60. I'm 50, just late 58 now. But you know, I got to say, since I got serious about my spiritual life about 35, 36 years ago when I entered the seminary, you know, Simon, I'm a changed man. Now, I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Mm-hmm. And in my relationship with the Lord, I've seen sins put to death. I've seen graces come alive. I'm more confident. I'm more trusting. There's just so many things I could go on and say, but I mean, and I give God all the glory. The sacraments work. Reading the Word of God and praying every day, it works. Frequent confession works. It works. And because of these, you know, I'm a changed man. So I think that this idea of becoming a mature Christian is to establish a relationship with a living Lord that I know is risen from the dead, and therefore I can face whatever I have to face with confidence, and I can move forward and know that this relationship with Him is going to change my life, and that's where I think we need to begin.
It strikes me when you say that, especially about the sacraments working and the power in reading Scripture and all that, that there's a way in which the central thing is Christ is risen, and I know that so much of that power is unleashed. But I wonder how much of in your view, the coming to maturity is also because other possibilities are closed off. That once I've made that kind of decision and accepted the truth that the Lord is risen, that there's other things that I'm not pursuing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly it involves making a range of decisions that exclude certain things and now take up and embrace certain things. And that's part of maturity, isn't it? That we begin to experience that we're responsible for the decisions that we make. And we also have a freedom to choose well, and the Lord can give us the grace to make better and better choices as we go. And, you know, if you think about, you know, what happens when we're little children? Well, we make dumb choices and our parents help us not to do that. But at some point we have to acquire this for ourself and, make good, solid decisions. And yeah, certainly it does. But I think that fundamentally, it proceeds from a relationship with the Lord, that this maturity begins to set up in us. So maybe to put it this way, some people wonder, well, how is having a relationship with the Lord really going to change my life? Well, first of all, you know, we've all met human beings, and having once met them, our life was never the same. Maybe it was your wife, or, you know, maybe, but even before that, maybe a teacher who inspired you, or someone who said you're hired. Or someone who said you're fired, or someone who gave you your first job, or opened up a career path. We all know that we can meet human beings, and having once met them, our life is never the same. And if that's the case with human beings, how much more so with the Lord, that our life begins to change and we become configured to him, and he shows us a better way. And so it's out of this love for the Lord, whom we admire and love, that we begin to see our life change and we make those better decisions. And so, as I say, those are the kinds of things that this, by the way, I want to also maybe just if I could say for 1 second, talk about the word know, K-N-O-W.
Okay.
See, I say a mature Christian knows that Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, this is not just intellectual knowing. Very often, as you know, in the Bible, the word know, K-N-O-W, is a much richer concept than our notion, our modern notion of intellectual knowing. To know in the biblical sense is to have deep, intimate, personal experience of the thing or the person known. So sometimes even used as a euphemism for sexual intimacy of a man and his wife. Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bore a son. Obviously, that's more than intellectual knowing, right? And very often, even in the Greek New Testament, Paul uses a form of the word to know, gnoskin, which means, you know, to know by experience. Mm-hmm. See? So this is more than just, I was in a book, I heard this in CCD class, my pastor said or my mother said this to me, that Jesus is alive, he's risen from the dead. That's just an intellectual knowing. I'm talking about a deep experiential knowing, you see. And we experience the power of the Lord as he's alive and he's ministering.
And that relationship, because I can also see that some relationships are also of the kind that bring you along, that make you more mature, that make you more, just as some relationships are of the kind that stunt you and hold you back.
Yeah, exactly. And we want to look for good, healthy relationships and avoid, like St. Paul said, bad company corrupts good morals.
Right?
So avoid bad company, not the rock group.
No, you don't want to avoid bad company.
No.
One of the classics. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking about mature Christianity. 888-318-7884. Monsignor Charles Pope is our guest. What might be some of the signs that I would look for in immature Christianity? So to juxtapose that so that I know where I am.
You know, let me read to you a couple scriptures about that. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians this. He says, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. You're like infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you're not ready for solid food. In fact, you're still not ready, for you're still worldly. Why? Because there's still jealousy and dissension among you. Are you not worldly? Are you not walking in the way of man? For when one says to you, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere men?" So he's talking about these petty things that often weigh us down. Who's in charge? Who got the honor? Who got the praise? Mm-hmm. Who do I know? What do I have up on you? You know. Also, he goes on to say that we simply walk in worldly ways, and our priorities are worldly, you know, about money, power, preoccupations with sex or with power and preeminence and where do I stand in the community and all those worldly preoccupations that bespeak a spiritual immaturity. So that's one maybe address of it. He also, in the book of Hebrews, we read this. Christ gave some to be apostles and prophets, some to be evangelists, and so on, to equip the saints for works of ministry, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, as we mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ, and are no longer like infants, tossed about by the waves and carried around by every wind of teaching and clever cunning of men in their deceitful scheming. So again, when we're immature too, we're often caught up in heresies and errors, and we just parrot the times, you know, and we run around finding teachers to tickle our ears and tell us the things that we want to hear. Instead of really looking for the solid food of Christ's word, we're running around trying to conform to the age and think like the world thinks, and you know, all that stuff. So those are some examples from Scripture.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. The Mature Christian is our topic. If you would like some help in that area, some advice, maybe some clarity on what it means to be a mature Christian, you are welcome to call. Monsignor Pope is our guest. 888-318-7884. His most recent book is Catholic and Curious, Your Questions Answered. 501 questions in there about Catholic things, and you can find answers there throughout the book. And you can also find Monsignor Pope mornings on EWTN on Morning Glory. 888-318-7884, our number here if you want to talk with him. Right now, we've still got that store-wide sale running. All the great Catholic resources there, all on sale, 10 to 25% off, sometimes, in some cases, more. And just when you thought it couldn't get any better, beginning today, we're offering a buy one, get one free offer on 20 of our most popular products. Visit us right now at shop.catholic.com and check it out. It's hands down the best Catholic sale on the entire internet.
We're here for you. Give us a call today on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
committed. As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about the mature Christian. Are we mature Christians? Have we matured in our faith? And are there things we can do to avail ourselves of the opportunities to be more mature in our faith, avoiding those things that are kind of stultifying and limit us and limit our ability to receive the fullness of the gifts that God offers us? 888-318-7884 is the number. One of the marks of our culture today, you mentioned kind of the, you know, one of the things, this kind of adolescent obsession with sex and sexual things and treating it, I mean, you know, treating sex as if it's, I don't know, some, it's just like, well, I don't know, there's just this childish teenage way of treating it. And so if you could address that, but also I wonder if you would also address, there's another quality of immaturity that is everywhere in our society, and that is being constantly angry and upset about things.
Yeah.
So could you say something about those two things? And maybe they're connected to one another.
Sure. You know, if I were to just analyze our culture in general, I would say that we are stuck or fixated on the teenage stage of life.
Yeah.
Our whole culture seems teenage. First of all, just the fact that everybody wants to have, you know, like a 28-inch waist. I mean, for me, I finally had to get rid of my 28-inch jeans size. It's just not going to happen, you know?
I could use them for one of my legs.
Okay, there you go. But I think this obsession with being, looking and sounding like you're young, and that we you know, all the young people are always being promoted. They're on their hip. They're on the cutting edge. And old people are just dumb and out of touch. That's completely reversed from a way a healthy culture should be thinking. But that said, going further, there's a lot of, for example, in our culture, you know, everybody wants all the rights, but nobody wants responsibility. You know, it's something that goes wrong, and I'm not responsible. My mother dropped me on my head when I was two, and I have ADHD, and don't talk to me. And we have all that. And like we said, there's a lot of sexual immaturity. People are just, you know, titillated about sex, but highly irresponsible about it.
Yeah.
Seeking it as just a pleasure thing, and then not, you know, a call to parenthood and maturity. There's also a hatred of authority and tradition and teaching in our culture. And then, you know, maybe another one would be, you know, the it's not fair mentality that's kind of the constant cry of so many people. Now, again, we want to seek for true justice, but it's not fair. It's just a kind of a teenage cry. And that does lead to, I think, too, this thing that everybody's so quickly offended and triggered, angry all the time, and offended and hurt, taking personally everything. This is very teenage stuff. And that's so our culture doesn't help us to become mature Christians either. And I'm just maybe add one more thing to it, that there's a huge delay of marriage and children. And nothing makes you grow up like getting married and having children. And so we delay it. And again, I'm not trying to be unfair to anyone who's not married, you know, and, you know, maybe they're approaching 30. But I'm just saying that it's a cultural issue, because there's a lot of reasons young people don't get married today. One of them is college debt. I mean, talk about an immature environment. You know, some people who are employers have told me, you know, I'd almost rather hire them out of high school, because they're actually more mature before they go into college than when they come out.
Yes.
It's just a huge, you know, I can think whatever I want, show up for class or not, and party, and everyone should just, you know, say I'm wonderful, and I should still get an award and get my diploma, and then they come out and they're just irresponsible. They don't know how to show up on time. Again, I'm speaking in a very general cultural way. Many good young people today. But you see the idea. This is where our culture is. And so I think that this also makes it harder for us to become more spiritually mature.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. We're talking about the mature Christian. Monsignor Charles Pope is talking to one of the world's most mature Christians right now. Congratulations on that.
It's a privilege to talk to you.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. The ability of marriage to grow you up is greatly undervalued. It's also the case that there are many, many people who are ready and willing, mm-hmm. but there is nobody,
right.
because the other side isn't there. The other side mm-hmm. is still goofing around or doesn't know that they're supposed mm-hmm. to, I don't know, get mm-hmm. a job and take care of some children and mm-hmm. do those things.
Yeah. And I think, too, we haven't helped young people either, those of us who are older. You know, there used to be a certain expectation that, look, it's time for you to get married, you know, and we would help arrange for those things, you know, church gatherings. We were better at having CYO dances and getting young people to meet, and we would have opportunities, and we were more active about, you know, trying to make sure that sons and daughters kind of met others, you know, that were, you know, and you get the idea. So somewhere we haven't helped them. There's a lot of things. I don't want to sound like I'm just down on, you know, young adults,
because
they're in a culture that's, like you say, many of them are themselves struggling. They're ready, but they can't find somebody who is. And so all these things come together, and it's a terrible, terrible problem for some of them. And I have to talk to a lot of them. I listen to this often, you know.
Again, we're talking about the mature Christian life. If you have questions about how to get yourself there, about what being a mature Christian looks like, about why it's a joy and you should want to be a mature Christian, or maybe there's someone in your life, maybe you're a parent or even a child who has a parent or a child who needs some help in this area, you're welcome to call. Monsignor Charles Pope is our guest. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. What did you mean before? In the context of talking about mature Christian life, Monsignor, when you said the sacraments work.
Yeah. You know, if we want to gain maturity in the Christian life, we got to we got to do the basic things, right? And you might remember from Acts 2 and verse 42, they dedicated themselves, it says, to four things, the early disciples, to the word, to the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God, scripture, to the breaking of the bread, which is a saying that speaks to the Eucharist, but all by extension, all the sacraments, to the fellowship. Now, that's more than just coffee and donuts. I mean, deep, developing good, deep relationships in the Christian community, and then to prayer, both communal and private prayer. So those are our four basic medicines: sacraments, the Word of God, prayer, and holy fellowship. And these are the things that help us to mature. I often say to my congregation, because I've been with my congregation for a good long time now, really for the better part of 27 years. I mean, I was away in the middle of there pastoring at another parish, but I was sent right back here. And I always say to them, for you, I'm your pastor. With you, I'm your brother. But from you, I am your son. Because those folks helped to raise me up in the faith. You know, after you've been with them that long. And I came as a very young man to this congregation, and older people shepherded, and they sang, the choir sang, and I saw mature Christians making their journey, often in the midst of great pain and difficulties in their life, but choosing to have faith and not give up. And that matured me, that kind of fellowship. Likewise, again, every day, Si, I read the Word of God. I preach the Word of God. I mean, I have this luxury. You know, I'm actually paid to do it, so to speak. You know, not, you know, it's something that that I have this great luxury to sit with the Word of God. And that's a transformative word, and it changes the way I think, and it changes my priorities. And then again, you know, I go to confession once a week, and I have Eucharist every day. And I'm just going to tell you, this medicine works. It is God's plan for us to make this journey. Yeah.
Yeah. How about Eucharistic adoration? Is this something you recommend for people as well? I say that with a bit of a bias in that, to me, there was a period of Eucharistic adoration which was utterly transforming for me, and in a totally mysterious way. You say, how did it work? I have no idea. Yeah. I just know that I showed up and something happened.
It's like sitting before the fire. You eventually pick up warmth. From the fire, it transfers to you. But yeah, it's obviously a form of intensive prayer with the Lord, a time of great quiet and sitting quietly before Him, maybe doing some reading. But it's a moment where we just discipline ourselves to go and sit before Him and listen for His voice and look to see His face. And so, as I say, it's a transformative look. There's so many beautiful moments in Mark's Gospel, especially where there's a mention of the Lord's eyes. It says, "And looking at them, He said." And there was just something about that look of Jesus that would change. And I'm sure that's what's happening in the Eucharist, too.
Up next, Emily in Dallas, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Emily, delighted to have you. Your question for Monsignor Charles Pope.
Hi, Monsignor. My boyfriend and I are in a long-distance relationship, I don't think that either of us is really ready or in a place to move, but we think that we probably should if we're going to progress and look at getting married and having kids. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions on how to maturely and prayerfully approach that.
Well, you say it's a long distance relationship, so that means that one of you would have to move. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Well, let me put it this way. Let me back up to go up a couple levels up higher. I think one of the things that all of us have to struggle with in life, but particularly people who are heading for marriage and family, what's more important, my career or my vocation? And this is especially, I think it weighs more heavily on women today because they're more naturally geared to the nurturing of children. But somewhere along the line, are you preparing, maybe what's keeping the two of you would be a job situation. I don't know that, but that's one of the things that keeps people from that and really preparing for marriage and so on. It might involve some financial sacrifices and so on. And I think at some level, you want to ask yourself, am I prepared to make those kind of sacrifices? Are we there in this relationship now where it's time to really consider now marriage and it's time to get engaged and move forward? It might involve you thinking along those lines. I'm preparing for a vocation, which is more important than a career. We all need to make some money. I get that. But does that make sense as an opening way to think about it?
Yes, definitely. that's a really good point.
Yeah. So as I say, that would be one thing. You know, I don't want to also, because I don't know the whole story, I don't want to rush you into a marriage or have you make a hasty decision to go somewhere where, you know, you haven't come to that stage yet. But I do think that ultimately, I'm going to guess you're in your 20s.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, at your age, when you're dating, you date for one purpose. That's to find a spouse. You don't just date to have someone to go to a movie with. You know, that's nice. But the real purpose of dating is to say to find a spouse. So if you really think that you've discovered that in him and he in you, then I would just encourage you to begin to move forward. You know, with the advice of a good priest or other good people you can get advice from. Because I can only sit here. I don't know the whole story, but I do think that this question of are we to the place where now one of us needs to decide to move and begin to move forward with this? I really think you need to start thinking about, let me just put it this way, a mature Christian is more focused on their vocation as wife or husband or father or mother than they are on career. And they don't have to be opposed to each other, but too often the vocation gets tucked under the career, and that's where we get lost pretty quickly.
You make a great point. I love what you said about the career stuff. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very, very, very much, Emily. Again, our number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about the mature Christian, and your questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. Our guest is Monsignor Charles Pope. His book, Catholic and Curious, Your Questions Answered, is out and available now. You can also find Monsignor mornings at 7 a.m. Eastern on Morning Glory with Gloria Purvis and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Find his blog, too, at monsignorpope.com. We'll be right back with more questions for Monsignor Pope on the mature Christian life.
Glad you're with us. Join us on air with your questions today on Catholic Answers Live.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge. How can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Let's talk about it on Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
You can hear Monsignor Charles Pope weekdays, 7 a.m. Eastern on Morning Glory with Gloria Purvis and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. You can read his blog at monsignorpope.com, and Monsignor is MSGR, monsignorpope.com. He's the author of many things, many columns and books, and his latest book is Catholic and Curious, Your Questions Answered. We have him today to talk about being a mature Christian. And this I will throw out to you, and I'm willing to debate this with you if you think that I am wrong, but it strikes me that we are swamped with immature Christianity at the current moment, and maybe the mature kind is in short supply, the kind that is clear-eyed, realistic, faithful, and not whiny, and not not fussy. But joyful. I guess we always need more of that. And I include myself in that list, of course, of people who need more of that. 888-318-7884 is the number if you want to talk with us about mature Christianity. Could you just say something before we go back to calls? And we do have several callers on, and we'll get to you shortly. Just a quick moment. But Monsignor Pope, we see a lot of prosperity gospel now. Mm-hmm. Prosperity gospel also, you know, the it comes under various names, the name it and claim it and all that. And
with name it and claim it and Colin and Holland.
Yeah, right. A Colin and Holland. And I think Joel Osteen, Joyce Myers, these are some of the more famous ones. And then the more extremes like Creflo Dollar and whatnot. And the message seems to be that if you're really fully a mature Christian, you will have just an unbelievable amount of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and it'll all pass away when you die. You know, it'll go to somebody else. And so it is for the man who stores up riches for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God. I think Jesus said something like that, didn't he?
Right, yeah.
But anyway, there is the... look, I think that at the heart of mature Christianity is an understanding and an acceptance of suffering, and that it isn't just about not always having money, but that into everybody's life, crosses come. There's suffering, and there are trials, and there are setbacks, and Jesus said as much, right? He says, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but have confidence. I've overcome the world. And that's a mature Christian who can accept that there is a role for suffering. We certainly can ask, please, Lord, take it away. I'll worry about it if you don't. But we all come to a point where we know that if it wasn't for some of the crosses in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. My crosses have helped mature me. They've helped me to know, to be more humble, that this world is passing away, that this world ain't it. That I've learned that I had strengths and gifts I didn't know I had. I could go on and on. But a good, solid theology of suffering. You know, I've listed sometimes in some of my blogs the five hard truths that'll set you free. And these are things that we're called to accept. That doesn't mean you approve and are happy about them. But you just come to accept, and the acceptance of them is freeing. Number one, life is hard. It just is. We're not in paradise. We're in paradise lost by our own decision. God gave us paradise, but we wanted a better deal. Welcome to the better deal. He said it would be involved suffering and death. So life is hard. Number two, your life isn't just about you and what you want. God has a bigger picture in mind than just you or me. And even for our own sake, not just you. But so number three, you're not that important.
Very hard for me to accept. Come on, man. I was with you up to that one.
Number four, you're not in control. And number five, you're going to die. Now, I know that all, but there's something freeing.
That list went downhill towards that.
There's something freeing, though, about accepting those things, you know? And not that we're happy and joyful about them, but
yes.
It's just part of living in paradise.
Amen.
Lost. And there's something mature about that. It's something, you know, whiny, like you said.
Right.
And look, we all have our moments where we go to the Lord and we just sigh, you know? Oh, not sigh, Kellett, but
no,
sigh. But at the end of the day, somewhere we pick up and we say, all right, Lord, if you need me to carry this cross for a while, I'll take it up, I'll carry it, I'll accept it.
Yeah.
And as long as I know, Lord, it's your will for me, you know. And that's maturity, see. That's what we're called to.
Daniel in Grand Rapids, Michigan, listening on Holy Family Radio. You are up next. Your question, please, for Monsignor Charles Pope.
Hi, yes. I was wondering how, as a young adult, I can learn to better understand spiritual warfare and how to combat it in my personal life and in the lives of those close to me.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to just say that, you know, I'm glad that you've even mentioned that, you know, because too many people today, this is Dan, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Dan, too many people don't know we're at war. They act as if we're not at war. but we are at war. Satan is prowling like a roaring lion, seeking to devour you and people you love. And the angels and God stands ready to help you, but we've got to, as St. Paul says, put on the helmet of salvation, take up the shield of faith to resist the fiery darts of the evil one, and take up the sword, which is the word of God, and engage the battle. And I'm so glad that you say that's a sign of maturity, that you know that we're at war. So that the first thing is just to know that we're at war, all right? Now, next thing is that you notice that St. Paul said, I didn't quote the whole passage from Ephesians 6, but let's just focus on those three things I did quote. You got to take up the helmet of salvation. That's the, in other words, you've got to be deeply, intellectually and in your mind and your heart steeped in the Word of God, all right? Number two, you take up the shield of faith, see? That helps you to resist the fiery darts of the evil one. So you get behind the shield of faith, you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior, you listen to his teachings, you base your life on them. That's the shield of faith. And then you take up the sword, which is the word of God, whereby you speak a word to your own soul and to the souls of people you know and love. You get close to the word of God, you know, you begin to internalize it, and you think differently, and you help others to think differently. And I think that's engaging the battle right there in a kind of a spiritual warfare. Obviously, the other things we said earlier, taking your medicine, so to speak, sacraments, the Word of God, holy fellowship. I hope you have I don't know your age, but I hope you have some older folks, or at least people your own age, who are good and strong in their faith, and you know, you have good spiritual friends, and of course you're praying. So those are, I think, the things that are for us to engage in the battle.
Daniel?
Yeah, I think that's really helpful. I guess on a more specific thing, if I may as well, how does, how do we come to understand why spiritual warfare happens in like specific situations? Because it seems like spiritual attacks can all of a sudden randomly ramp up at a time and unexplainedly so. How can we understand that and grow in knowledge of how to prevent that from happening?
Well, I don't know if we can always prevent it from happening, because I think God wills that some of these things be, you know, happen in our life. So, for example, the devil may decide to attack a particular area of your life at a particular time. But here's what I would say. Let's use the body as an analogy. Every now and again, there might be some illness going around that just really hits us hard, and how did we get so sick like that? But how do we prevent that? Well, generally, I can say just stay healthy, you know, and develop, you know, keep your immune system strong, and eat well, and try to engage in good health. And so, in other words, stay generally strong. But even then, you know, I'm generally of good health. I'm overweight, but I mean, otherwise, I have good health. I very seldom get sick. But every now and again, I just get walloped. And where did that come from? I don't know. So even then, you know, you're going to have some of these attacks. And the question is, why is the Lord permitting it? Maybe it's he needs you to see something or grow in something, or maybe you just need to experience greater humility. Or so it's not simply something to prevent, it's sometimes something to accept, that in our life we're going to sometimes suddenly be tempted by things that didn't used to tempt us, or there's going to be some attack for grief or sorrow or depression, or something will hit us and we wonder why. And part of the answer, that none of your business. but number two is maybe the Lord's permitting it for you to have an area of growth in your life, or to become more humble. Does that make sense for you, Daniel?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you very, very much. Again, 888-318-7884, our number. Monsignor Charles Pope, our guest, and we are talking about the mature Christian life. If you have questions in that regard, 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. For the moment, however, we will just take a quick break, because Assistant Producer Marie is here. Hello, Assistant Producer Marie.
Hello.
You know, whenever I say your name when I'm like out talking with people, I'll be like, oh, Marie, you know, just say Marie. They always correct me and go, Assistant Producer Marie.
It's because you branded me as that for so long.
Sorry
now.
About that. Well, we can't promote you now. Because you're stuck there, because ruin it.
I know. I could never just be Producer Marie. It doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, right.
Yeah, well.
Darren's glad about that, too.
I'll take second best, I guess.
All right, and you are here?
I'm here to talk about parish partners. So We actually have close to 200 Catholic Answers Live parish partners right now, which is
good
really
work.
Exciting.
Knuckles.
Thanks, man.
Boom,
actually,
that's good.
It's all the people that are signing up, like all of you listeners who have signed up. That's been fantastic. And I'm so grateful because, I mean, we're all over the country with our flyers and different things now. So if handing out flyers, stickers, like coasters, things like that, with information on them about how to listen to Catholic Answers Live or our various podcasts, sounds interesting to you, and it's a resource that you think you need at your parish, I would invite you to sign up to be a parish partner. It's really simple. Just go to catholic.com/partner and just enter in your name there, and I'll get you signed up and send you some supplies for your parish. So it's completely free, but it's a great way for you to promote Catholic Answers Live in your parish. And if it's a resource that's been helpful for you, it's going to help the other people around you too who want to learn about their faith. So
catholic.com/partner.
Catholic.com/partner. Exactly.
Catholic.com/partner. Do you know what happened while you're in here?
Huh.
Every single phone line filled up. If you're on the phone, don't hang up. The reason that it's not being answered is assistant producer Marie is in here with us. She'll be right back there. We'll be right back with more on Christian maturity with Monsignor Charles Pope right after this. Thanks, Marie.
You're welcome.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I love listening to Catholic radio. It's perfect. It provides peace and it builds us up and strengthens us. We listen to it whenever we're in the car. My husband and I love it. He got me started with it before he even became a Catholic. He owns his own business and so he's working by himself and he listens to Catholic radio and he's called in several times too. It's using the technology that we have for good.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Buonasera. Welcome back. Yes, buonasera. It's time to say buonasera. Yes. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and I'm probably going to be saying that little Italian phrase, the only Italian I know, for probably till Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving I'll give it up, but just back from Rome, and makes me feel better to say buonasera. Our guest is Monsignor Charles Pope. You can hear him at 7 a.m. Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network on Morning Glory with Gloria Purvis and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We're talking about maturity in the Catholic life. And up next is Sherman in East Texas listening to EWTN Channel 130 Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Sherman, your question for Monsignor Pope.
Good evening.
Hi, Sherman.
Yes, hello. Hey, I just had a quick question. Regarding spiritual maturity, and I do not claim to be mature at all. I'm probably the most immature 42-year-old man on the planet, but I find myself at a different place than my wife as far as my spiritual maturity goes, and I feel like I'm constantly dragging her up with me. You know, I want her to be right in step with me, and, you know, it's just not happening. And I guess my question is, you know, how do you balance that, and should I back off?
So you're ready to kind of make a spiritual change, and emotional change as well, and direct your attentions to more mature spiritual things. You feel like your wife is not ready to go with you.
Right. Okay. And we just come into the church. I come in 2017, and she came in this last summer. And okay. We're just in, you know, I'm very hungry, and I'm on fire, and, you know, I just don't really get that from her so much.
Okay. Monsignor?
Well, I think at some level in the church in general, we need to give each other a little bit of room to grow. And you've entered the church, maybe a little ahead of her and so on. Give her a little time. I think try your very best to set a good example for yourself. For example, are you getting up early every day or whatever you decide to do and praying? Are you following certain spiritual disciplines? Do that for yourself and exemplify it. And you can encourage her, but I think at some level, the more she sees you coming alive, that's going to be a good approach. The other thing is, and this is a wider issue in the church today, you know, I know some people who have come to respect and admire the beauty of Catholic tradition, and immediately are impatient with everybody who doesn't get it. Well, why don't they all want to go to a Latin Mass? So, well, people aren't there yet, but let them grow and give a good witness. So that's an example of maybe not in the spiritual area, but somewhere along the line, I think in the church we become too impatient with each other, and we discover something good or new, or we're experiencing growth and we're happy about it, but we kind of get impatient quickly that other people aren't, and even though we may have spent many decades not interested, but suddenly now we've gotten, pardon the expression, woke, and everybody else isn't, we get frustrated. So be careful about that frustration. Stay in a longer conversation with your wife. You know, this is again part of spiritual maturity, that we don't just got to win in the moment. We can see a longer term battle to fight prudentially. So if that can help just a little.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, Sherman. Thank you very, very much for the call. 888-318-7884 is the number. Up next is Mark in Jackson, Michigan, it says. Jackson, Michigan. I hope that is correct. Mark, your question for Monsignor Pope.
Oh, thanks. It's not really a question. It's kind of a comment about the kind of spiritual warfare you have to engage in. And I've noticed that the time I'm most likely to get hit up with a temptation is right after walking out of confession.
Oh.
It's like the thing I just confessed, if I'm not like thinking about it and kind of trying to be vigilant, I'm going to fall into the same thing I just got through confessing and confession.
Devil knows your weak spots.
Yeah, and take it as a compliment in the sense that he's upped his attack because he doesn't like what you just did. So sounds like you need to do more of it. I mean, more of the confession, I mean. So, but I think that, you know, in a certain sense, take it as a compliment because, you know, the devil's going to up his attack when he sees us doing, you know, good things. But I'd also say that, you know, sometimes when you go to a medical procedure, you feel worse before you feel better. Obviously, surgery is an example of this, right? So, you know, you have some surgery and you know you're just uncomfortable for several weeks, but the main problem has been removed, you see. So maybe you can kind of see it that way, somewhat philosophically. I think what happens to us is that we have a feeling about something and then we have feelings about the feeling. So, oh my gosh, you're being tempted and oh my gosh, I'm being tempted. And then, you know, and so you see, if you can just wave away that feeling as best you can and say, of course I'm being tempted and I'm not going to be anxious about it. You know, if that helps a little bit, just work on that feeling about the feeling and see if you can work at that level.
How's that, Mark?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Mark. We'll go now to Christopher in New Orleans, Louisiana. Christopher, your question for Monsignor Charles Pope. Hi, Christopher.
Gentlemen, how are y'all doing this afternoon?
Very well. Thank you.
My question, so I'm in my mid-20s and I find it difficult having conversations with my peers when it comes to the Catholic teaching and tradition for cohabitation. And on the second point is the idea that, I'll quit all my sexual perversions once I get married or get into a serious relationship.
Yeah, good luck with that, because you've got to, by that time, you personally, but, you know, by that time, the person has gotten too many bad habits, and it just gets worse. I think that, you know, cohabitation is this another sign of immaturity. It's I'm not going to make commitments, but I'm going to take advantage of you and use you for my own, you know, pleasure. And even if we mutually agree on that, that's still a terrible thing to do. Sexual intimacy is obviously about having children, and it involves the very deepest parts of the human person. And a good, strong, mature person, a mature Christian, understands that and says, I've got to be serious and marry someone, give my whole life to them before I engage in this kind of activity. And, you know, just at the level of experience, and any statistics will show you, cohabitation is a terrible way to get ready for marriage. It's the absolute worst thing. And because it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't really respect the commitment of before the marriage. What makes suddenly think you're going to, you know, respect the commitment after the marriage? So anyway, these are some things I think, you know, we could offer. But certainly Catholic Answers, you know, it has a lot of information on this, too, about the biblical teachings. But also, you know, Mosai, you could tell it more than I. But I think the point is there's plenty of information on statistics and other things that that are available through Catholic Answers.
There's some from the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate and from Pew Research, but it's not good. You're much more likely. You know what the research shows? If you and people hate to hear this, if the spouses are virgins when they are married, they are extremely unlikely ever to divorce. If the spouses do not practice contraception, they are extremely unlikely. What it turns out is that the data says you should live the way Christ told you to live, and then things work out better.
Imagine that.
So it doesn't matter what the data says, you do what Christ says.
That's right.
Because somebody could mess with the data. But when the data supports it, then I think you ought to listen. Thanks very, very much for that call. We go to Rose now in Illinois, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 130. That's EWTN on Sirius Radio. Rose, your question for Monsignor Charles Pope.
Hi, Monsignor. Thank you for taking my call. I love you on Morning Glory. So,
thank you.
Thanks for being on that show. I'm kind of playing off the analogy of, you know, kind of the adolescent and, you know, being mature. As an adult, you know, if I have adolescent children and they're misbehaving, I'm kind of in their face trying to, you know, of course they have to make their own decisions, but helping them to, you know, steer the right course.
We'll have to
go. Our loving Father, why does he choose to remain somewhat hidden from us in that regard?
Okay, I missed some of that, but I kind of get the idea. Why does God choose to stay a little bit hidden, huh? You know, I want to say that I think at some level there's a deep respect that God has for us. He doesn't overwhelm us. Pardon me for putting it this way, but God is no abuser or a rapist. You know, God will always have deep reverence and respect. He calls, he knocks. He doesn't just tear open the door and barge in and say, "I'm here, I'm God." We might, in a way, want him to do that. But I want to ask you, let's say if I were God, I could ride down in a lightning bolt and scare the heck out of everybody. And I'm God, and by gosh, you better. Would people really believe in him now out of love or out of fear? I think what the Lord wants are sons and daughters who love him. So he's kind of a gentleman. He whispers. Now, who's in our face all the time and yelling? That's the devil. Yeah, he's everywhere. He's the noisy, screaming world of everything. The devil screaming, yelling, interfering, tempting, constantly whispering in our ear, distracting us. That's what the devil does. God is very quiet and respectful. And that's the best I can do with it. There are times where I wish he'd be louder, but...
I had to admit to the same feeling sometimes. Rose, we're going to have to leave it there because I want to try to get everybody in who wants to talk with Monsignor Pope. Well, that would be a lot more people than we could even get on the lines. But Monsignor Charles Pope, our guest, our topic, mature Christianity, the mature Christian. We go now to Jacob in Concord, New Hampshire. Jacob, your question for Monsignor Pope.
Hi. I listen to your talk show all the time. It's awesome.
Bless you. Thank you.
I was wondering, I was brought up sort of in a paganism practice with my family, and I was wondering, I was sort of just wondering if there's a spiritual practice to get myself out of that sort of practice of paganism.
Yeah, okay. Now, when you say practice paganism, you mean some active way or just don't go to church, don't pray? What do you mean by practice paganism?
Well, we would gather pretty much gather in a big circle, group setting, and just pray the words, Samota B.
Okay. All right, I'm kind of getting an idea what you're talking about. Listen, this is what the church has always said in these regards is that we have to do renunciations. You're familiar with baptismal promises. Do you reject Satan and all of his works and all of his empty promises? And then do you believe in God, the Father, Almighty Creator? I would recommend that you go through your baptismal promises every day. You can look them up and recite them. And we do them at Easter. We renew them every year at Easter. But you might want to take up a practice of renunciation. You can always add to the renunciations your own words. I reject these things that I did when we were gathered in that circle. I hereby claim Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I claim that I will make progress in Him. I reject what I once did, and I accept Christ. And my God is my Father, and the Holy Spirit indwells me. You know, you could also do it in an informal way, but I would certainly recommend you begin by frequently, even for a time period, maybe every day, reciting your baptismal promises and so on. Okay?
Jacob, thank you very, very much for that call. Monsignor, you've said several things, and because I am a mature Christian, there are several things during the show I'm now going to go attack you on Twitter about. Okay. That's how I express my mature Christian faith. Is by attacking priests on Twitter.
You know, they should rename it. It's not Twitter. It's Yeller.
Yeah.
Screamer. I'm going on screamer.com.
Amen.
Yeah, that's too much of that, huh?
Monsignor, may we have your blessing before we go?
May the peace and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon you all and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Monsignor. You can, again, several folks mentioned that they listen each morning. Monsignor Pope, you can find him 7 a.m. on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network with Gloria Purvis and Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. That's a pretty good lineup. That's a pretty good lineup right there. I would say get up and listen to that if you haven't listened to that. You can also get up. You can find him at MonsignorPope.com, MSGRPope.com. Thank you again, Monsignor.
Thank you.
And up next, Tim Staples. We're going to talk about the last things. Judgment, heaven, hell, purgatory. Coming right up.